Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com. Free Talk Live.
It is Free Talk Live, and as always, you're invited to take control of the airwaves. You can do that at 603-283-6160. Again, the number 603-283-6160. With you at the moment is Aria and Nikki, and we will be joined by Bonnie. She's just doing something at the moment, and I can't, you know, if we were like professionals, like Bonnie is late, whatever, rah, 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 how dare she not be prepared? But like, honestly, I am so unprepared for just everything.
I'm unprepared for life.
I mean, yeah, obviously.
I'm
right.
Like simply just existing.
That's there's a lot happening right now. Of course, tomorrow is Forkfest. What is it? Yes, tomorrow is officially the beginning of Forkfest. It's not official. There's nothing official
the
about
the unofficial
Forkfest.
Official right. Beginning of Forkfest.
Yeah, it's official because I'm declaring it to be the beginning of Forkfest, and that makes it as official as anything. So that's what we're going with. And, of course, that means I've got to, you know, tomorrow I've got to take the remote kit, the remote studio, and all of this stuff, and plus my clothes and two cats and a dog with me up to Rogers Campground in the beautiful White Mountains of New Hampshire. And the drive kind of, it's all right, right? I prefer to be in my Eclipse with the top down, but it's going to be rainy tomorrow anyway.
Yeah.
And, you know, listening to loud rock music. But this is not how things are shaping up. But it's got this extra weirdness to it this year. Like, that's something that I do every year, and I always wait until the last possible minute to pack. Like, I just did laundry for this thing today, right? My laundry tends to be clean anyway, or I tend to do laundry regularly, but, like, when I'm going away, I'm like, okay, let's just make sure everything is freshly washed and throw it in the suitcase, and I did that today. Like, on the way to the studio, I stopped and picked up my dried laundry.
Yeah.
And tomorrow, I'm going up to Forkfest, and that's normal. And taking the cats with me is normal, and taking Azaria, my dog, with me is normal. The abnormal stuff here is that when Porcupine Freedom Festival, when it ends on June the 25th, I will be presumably coming back to Keene, staying here for that Sunday and that Monday, and then that Tuesday reporting to federal prison. So all of my stuff, like my entire life, got packed into boxes and scattered to the winds of New Hampshire in various places. And that's what I've been doing for the last few days. And that's not an easy thing to do, right? Like, that sucks. I've built a life here, and I had to dismantle that and send it all around New Hampshire, knowing that there's no chance it's going to get put back together. Maybe to some degree, but, like, Humpty Dumpty's going to break, and that's going to be the end of it.
You just have, like, different people holding stuff?
Yes, for the most part. Most of it's fine where it's at, but then there's stuff like my Gibson guitars that are very expensive, very valuable, and I don't want to just leave those unattended. But yes, essentially that. And it's difficult to do that under any circumstance, but while you're also planning to go to a festival, it just makes it also weird on top of that. It's very bittersweet, I'm both looking forward to this event and absolutely dreading it, because the event's going to be fun, but immediately after the event, like one day after the event, I'm going to prison.
Are you staying for all of Porkfest?
My current plan is, but, like, we don't know what's going to happen,
yeah.
Right? I'm supposed to be, everyone keeps asking, you know, do you know where you're going to be going yet? No, God, people, look, this is the government.
That's so crazy that they wouldn't have it decided and at least tell you about it by a week before going, or a week and a half.
At least a week before. I mean, when were you sentenced?
April the 26th.
Yeah.
What?
And now it's June. and they still haven't told you. I mean, that is insane. Not surprised,
well,
but it's insane.
They got it on their paper and they were like, all right, this is due on June the 26th. We'll do it on June the 24th. Right. That's yep. the government. That's the way the government does things. I will know probably around June the 20th. June the 20th is when I'm expecting to get an answer, but no. It could very well be that I'm told, well, you're going to do your time in a prison in Oregon or California or whatever.
What are the odds that they're just like, we're going to hold you in some place for like a month until we figure it out or something?
I don't know. I don't know what the odds are on any of this, right? Yeah. Like, I've never been a federal prisoner, and I don't really know anyone who has. They're going to do whatever they want to do. It would be strange if they did that with me, given that they've had 2 months to prepare. That was the whole point of me being allowed to self-report, was so that the Bureau of Prisons could figure out what they were going to do with me in advance. So I don't know. That may be something that would actually involve my attorney again. I don't know, though. I don't know what's going to happen. But I don't expect to know anything until June the 20th, and as for staying for all of the Porcupine Freedom Festival, I might get called on the 20th and say, hey, you're going to be in prison in Oregon, so you can either report to this prison in Oregon on the 27th, or you can report to a local prison, and we can take you there. And as I pointed out previously, that's not an appealing concept, right? Spending 12 hours a day handcuffed in a bus, maybe with the windows down, but probably not, with bars on the window, uncomfortably riding across the country, staying in this jail one night and then another jail the next night, and then this jail for 3 weeks while they wait on another bus like that. No. If they say something like that, I'm just going to buy my own plane ticket and head out of the event early and go to whatever city I'm going to be stationed at. I don't want to do that, right?
Yeah, of course not. It'd be nice to be here so, your friends can visit you and...
Right. And that's what the judge said. Apparently having people nearby their home fosters, good behavior because that they take away your visitation rights or whatever if you don't behave well. And so they want to station you where people can visit you because otherwise they have that little carrot on a stick to dangle in front of you and entice good behavior out of you. But they consider, I don't want to say they consider the Free State Project to be a gang, but they do, right? In the same way that they consider...
You people, that's what the judge called Free Staters.
You people.
Well, it's worse than that, right? Like, the actual Bureau of Prisons considers Free Staters to be a criminal, not a criminal enterprise, but a gang. And the reason for that is, like, they don't want to station me with, like, the Nazis or the communists or whatever. Indeed, those don't exist as gangs in federal prisons. The Nazis do, but...
Didn't the federal government literally list libertarians as domestic terrorists?
Yeah,
I feel like that happened, yeah.
They did that.
So...
Right. So, and because of that classification, they're probably not going to want to keep me in the same state where this gang is headquartered, right? So that's been suggested.
I mean,
to
they
me
have to know that's BS. Have they really bought into that notion?
The U.S. probation officer straight up asked me if I had any gang affiliations, and I said no. And he said, "Aren't you a member of the Free State Project?"
Yeah, not a gang, buddy. Oh my gosh, these people are crazy.
The way they defined it, it's literally a gang, right? It may not be a criminal enterprise, but I mean, it is
that's
an organization of people that work together to achieve a common goal. And
is that a gang?
I think it's a lot looser, though, because, like, there's no membership.
I'm not actually a member of the Free State Project, but there is a membership, right? People sign the thing and they sign up to be members.
I don't even think that makes you sign up to be a member. You just pledge that you're going to move. And other than that,
I think there's something you sign, like, once you're moved here.
If there is,
I think there is. Like,
I honestly
you can
don't know,
be part of the organization somehow, but I'm not,
Yeah, I'm not either. So it's like, it's a weird situation. I'm Free State Project adjacent, I guess.
Yeah.
But it's like if I was a member of a drug cartel that had its base in, San Bernardino, California, they wouldn't want to station me in a California prison because I'd be right there where my gang is stationed. So I understand from that perspective. The issue, of course, is that the Free State Project is as far from what anyone understands a gang to possibly be.
It's just when I think of people that are advocating for peace and freedom, I'm not like, yeah, they're a gang.
Did they make you watch that movie in school? I think it was called The Buttercream Gang.
No.
Okay.
Sounds familiar. I don't know why.
It was really popular in the South. Like, in every school that I went to as a kid, we ended up watching this. And it was like these just goody two-shoe kids that had a gang, and it was the Buttercream Gang. And that's all I remember about it. Other than that, one of them moved away, and he joined, like, a real gang. And then he came back. I wish I could remember more of the movie than that. But that's, like, what's happening here. They're looking at the Buttercream Gang and going, These horrible people, how dare they? And it's like, look, we're libertarians just trying to live in peace here. That's all there is to it.
I think I've just heard reference to this because it doesn't look familiar, but wow, that sounds like a terrible time. Well, I would rather be doing that than like having like a teacher instruction day.
Yeah, I mean, as far as movies go, it was okay. There were a lot of movies that like I watched as a kid in school that I wish I could remember now. Like, one of them was about aliens invading some post-apocalyptic Earth.
Wow. And, yeah, right. I watch movies like that in school.
And they had to read books and study libraries, fallen libraries and stuff, in order to piece together the humans were rising against the aliens. I don't remember, man. Like I said, I was in the second grade then. And it was really intense. It was like a 12-part series that we watched, like, one, and then 3 months later, we watched the other one. And over the course of several years, eventually, the library got us through all of the series. But I don't remember it other than the really disappointing ending, where they thought watermelons were nuts. I remember that. And the ending, the aliens, or whatever they were scared of horses. So they created some hologram of horses in the sky to, like, scare them away.
That is wild.
That was the climax at the end of the movie, right?
We just watched Schoolhouse Rock.
Okay. We watched that, too, occasionally. But don't know. These were not good movies.
For no reason. I don't even know why the reason would be. From 7th to 11th grade, I watched Monty Python and the Holy Grail, like, 5 times in school. It was,
school?
Like,
that sounds like, yeah.
My class was always, like, voting for it. Like, yeah, we went. And I hated it. Like, I had already seen it. I just don't think it's that funny. I know everyone loves it.
It's all right. I mean, it's not one of my favorites, but...
I mean, when you've seen it 5 times, for one thing, and, like, all the boys in my class, like, loved that movie, and they'd vote for that.
We never watched Monty Python when I was in school, disappointingly, but that's what's going on, and, you know, then June the 27th is going to happen at 2 o'clock p.m., and I'm going to be in federal prison for the next 18 months, so, like, I don't know if I'm staying for all of the Porcupine Freedom Festival. It's my plan to, but... It's difficult. It's been difficult to plan things the last 2 years anyway, because I didn't know what was going to happen. And that's even more true so as it gets closer to the day, where I don't know what I'm going to be told, I don't know what's going to happen, and I don't know how it's all going to happen. And it's not a fun place to be. But, you know, I'm going to go to Pork Fest and the Fork Fest, and I'm going to have as good a time as one can. Even though I do have this hanging over me. And that's what makes it such a bittersweet experience. Where, like, I love Fork Fest and the Porcupine Freedom Festival, but, like, as soon as that's over, it's off to prison for me. So, I don't know. It's not a fun place to be. But anyway, in fun stuff, music concerts are a lot of fun. I've got a story about Taylor Swift and what's going on at her... It's alarming to me how popular of a musician Taylor Swift is, because she's not a terrible musician, in my opinion. I mean, she's talented, and, you know, she's clearly talented, but she's, like, one of the most popular musician in the world.
I completely don't understand it. It's like, I don't understand why anyone who likes pop would like her, like, 10 times more, like, because she's, like, 10 times more popular than someone like Lady Gaga. Maybe not 10, but at least, like, 5. I don't understand it. Like, I liked her country music. I personally don't like her as a pop star. I think she's, like, not what a pop star should be like. And I seriously can't wrap my mind around it. I think it's just, like, Kanye West told us, radio lied to you. I think that it's pumped up numbers for no reason. And for whatever reason, she's the voice they want to give the popularity to.
Yeah, people are willing to spend, like, 10 grand on a ticket.
Yeah, I
to
buy
see
it.
Her show.
I have a friend who spent $6,000 on the tickets to go see her in May, in, I think, Boston or somewhere around here. And
like, it's just so mind-blowing to me. And I've been saying, like, oh, I don't like Taylor Swift for a while now. But when I think about it, I'm not really familiar with any of her new music. Obviously, I know like her older country stuff and some of her like older pop stuff just from, you know, existing. But I couldn't even name one of her new songs. I don't know. Maybe I would like her, but I just have no interest in finding out, honestly.
So I hear her a lot. I mean, it's pop. It's not great, but for pop music, it's not bad. And she generally writes it all herself, which is a little more impressive.
Cool. Yeah. No, yeah. And I have heard that about her before, that she's more involved with, like, management and all sorts of stuff like that. And I think that's great, because most people aren't nowadays.
No, they're not, sadly. And I do believe that she's as popular as, you know, she seems to be, because I've seen the videos, like, filling out stadiums, 70,000 yeah. people strong stadium, 70,000 people going to this one concert.
But the thing is,
and the 70,000 more standing outside because they didn't have tickets. That's
when you're
nuts.
Told every day, like, this is the most popular pop star of all time. This is there are going to be a bunch of kids that are just like, I like Taylor Swift too because my friends do. I don't think it's organic. Her music is just not that good. I'm a pop music connoisseur. I don't hate her music so much. It's more her. She's so fake. Like, she was like, oh yeah, I have this country accent, and then she lost it. She's from Pennsylvania, and her country music was honestly better than her music she makes now. And all of her singles are absolutely awful and terrible, so it just doesn't sound logically possible to me to be an organic, like, oh yeah, we just love her. We just like her. And she's, like, not that much in the, like, she doesn't just, like, go and do things where she's, like, in the public very often. It's just strange to me. It's this thing I think of once in a while, and I'm just like, it just seems so unorganic, fake, and I don't like it.
I don't know enough about pop music or Taylor Swift to weigh in on any of that, but I do know I was impressed to find out that she simultaneously held all top 10 of the top 10 song spots at the same time, and that's...
hasn't, like, happened since the Beatles, but I don't even think they did that. I think it was just the top 5.
Some other artists held the top 9, had 9 of the top 10 at one point, but she's the only artist who's ever had all of the top 10. And they were all 10 songs for her newest album. That's absolutely insane. And I remember when her previous album released not long before the previous Tool album did, Fear Inoculum was the Tool album. And Taylor Swift, of course, had just released an album, and it was number one. And then suddenly, this band that almost no one had, well, plenty of people had heard of them, but none of the Swifties had ever heard of, had knocked Taylor Swift out of the number one spot. And, of course, it was Tool. And they were like, who is this band Tool? And why? Who? No one listens to Tool. It's like, well, hey, kid, calm down. Like, Tool is an extremely popular. And that was around the time I learned that a lot of people thought that Tool was some underground, unknown band. And, like, I don't know how you can be a rock musician and think that. And
Tool's a very popular band, especially if we're talking about rock music.
Yeah, it's something I've encountered a few times on the internet, in particular with some of the, like, Dark Souls is a video game trilogy that's really hard, and other people say, you know, it's obscure, it's underground, you know, no one knows about it. It's like, dude, it's sold like 8 million copies recently. What are you talking about? It's one of the most successful franchises to release this year.
I think sometimes if people, like, some people, if they haven't heard of something, they're like, oh, well, no one must have. You know, if I don't know about it, then that means no one likes it. And
I get,
like,
that.
No.
But this is like the opposite of that, where these people listen to it. They love Tool, but they thought that Tool was no one else listened to them. And it's like, I don't know how they missed the numbers of, like, all of Tool's debut albums since, like, Undertow debuted at, you know, number one on the Billboard.
Well, I'm happy to hear that they knocked Taylor Swift out of number one.
They did indeed, and it was funny. The tweets there were really interesting because Tool writes, like, 17-minute-long songs.
Yeah.
And the Swifties and their 3-minute-long pops, they didn't know how to handle this. And they were like, this gives me, just looking at this song, this 12 minutes long, gives me anxiety. And I gotta give them that. Like, the song Tempest is like 17 minutes long.
Yeah.
And someone should have slapped everyone in the band, like, halfway through. They're like, hey, this should have ended 5 minutes ago. Let's ax this and move on to a new song.
See, I don't know, man. I listen to the Grateful Dead, so I listen to like 30-minute long songs. I'm like, yes, this Bertha's still going.
I could see that with the Grateful Dead. And I used to like Tool doing that, but somewhere along the way it started to feel masturbatory or self-serving, or just
like, we're the ones that do the long songs.
Yeah, it's no longer about doing what is right for the song, it's about making a really long song.
Movies are like that too. Whenever you're watching a movie and you're like, there's no reason that this is 2 hours. It's like they want to make it a 2 hour long movie,
yeah,
or a 2.5 hour long movie, but there wasn't actually enough story for that. I don't like that.
And this is one of the reasons I like Metallica's album Saint Anger. There's a few reasons why I like the album Saint Anger, believe it or not, but one of them was because that was when they dropped guitar solos. And the reason they did that, as they said, was it felt like it was self-serving. They didn't serve the songs anymore. They just felt like they didn't belong. There was just these things.
Forced.
It was show off. Yeah. And so they just dropped them from the album. And that in particular worked on Saint Anger. And Tool didn't do that. They were like, they're no longer interested in serving what is best for the song. They want that song to be 17 minutes long. And it's going to be. And it's tedious and exhausting.
Yeah.
The song Invincible is probably their best song off their newest album. And, like, the last 5 minutes of the song is just them playing this one riff over and over
no.
and over. The
like,
drums explore
don't.
And expand a lot.
Yeah.
But the bass and the guitar is a cool sounding riff for, like, the first 30 seconds. But then it goes on for another 5 minutes. I'm like, guys.
Yep, that's when you switch the song. Next.
Yeah, it was fun, but they're on tour again, Tool is, and the albums are already, the tickets are already $600-$700. It's
mm-hmm.
absolutely insane. There is no one that I want to go see badly enough to pay that much for a ticket.
Yeah.
And
yep.
That's one of the benefits, I guess, of, you know, the Butcher Babies and more obscure bands being some of the bands that I'm listening to lately, because I think what were the Lacuna Coil tickets?
It was like 30,
Coil,
40 yeah. bucks.
It was Lacuna Coil,
and
Butcher
that was
Babies,
an awesome
and
show, and we got to see like five bands. I mean, that was really, really awesome. And the same thing with festival tickets. I mean, I just bought festival tickets, and I paid less than $300, and I'm going to see at least five big headliners that I'm really excited to see. They're a little bit more obscure, like jam bands, like
yeah.
Twiddle and the Disco Biscuits and stuff like that. But, I mean, you just get way more value, and you get to camp out and hang out in the woods with your friends. So it's just...
I am sad that I'm not going to any music festivals this year. The year before last, I went to Louder Than Life, and then this last year, I went to Incarceration. And this year, I probably would have gone to Rockville or something, but Pantera is touring a lot this year. And every one of the festivals that I've looked at that I may have been interested in going to, Pantera is going to.
Yeah. Life,
I just can't. I don't care who else is there. I just cannot give those literal Nazis money.
Oh, I forgot that they were Nazis. Also, isn't the main guy that everyone likes from them dead?
Yeah, Dimebag Darrell, their dead guitar player who no one cared about because he wasn't the greatest guitar player of all time until he died.
Yeah.
And then suddenly, like, oh, we just lost this great... Like, dude, first of all, he's really not that good. Second of all, you only cared about him because he died. And, you know, when he was alive and playing music, he was nothing special. But, you know, then he died, and then this redneck Nazi was the best guitar player of all time, and I just can't. Not with Pantera. But there are other good events going on that aren't involving Pantera, but I'm going to be, you know, in prison when those bands are playing. But I do have a story about Pink Floyd and LSD. Speaking of, you know, Fork Fest and the Porcupine Freedom Festival, you know, psychedelics, they tend to make their rounds at these things, allegedly. And the myth is that LSD melted Syd Barrett's brain. And that's something I want to talk about, because the article is about LSD casualties. And, of course, it immediately starts talking about Syd Barrett, the former guitar player from Pink Floyd, who everyone knows had his brain melted by LSD, except, you know, that's obviously not what happened. 603-283-6160. If you want to tell us about your Fork Fest plans, at 603-283-6160.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Yeah. USA News update. A white Marine veteran has been indicted by a New York grand jury for a deadly subway incident involving a black individual. Daniel Penny, accused of manslaughter, allegedly used a fatal chokehold on Jordan Neely, who had mental health challenges and was reportedly threatening passengers. If elected president, would former Vice President Mike Pence pardon former President Trump? He's not sure.
These are serious charges. And as I said, I can't defend what's been alleged, but the president does deserve to make his defense.
Appearing on the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton show today, Pence said he will never diminish the importance of defending the nation's secrets. A study from Iowa State University proposes that restricting social media use to 30 minutes per day can yield mental health benefits. 2 weeks of reduced usage among 230 college students resulted in lower levels of anxiety, depression, loneliness, and fear of missing out. John Schaefer, USA News.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
It's Free Talk Live, and you can join us. 603-283-6160 if you would like to weigh in. That's 603-283-6160. And with you in the studio tonight, it's Aria,
Nikki, and Bonnie.
And coming up, a story about a Taylor Swift concert and Grateful Drag is the name of the band, right?
Oh, no, the name of the band is actually Bertha, but that's their, like, it's their handle on Instagram, at least. But I just love that, Grateful Drag. Like, that is so funny. And they're actually a really talented band. They're pretty good. I've heard a lot of different Grateful Dead cover bands, some good, some bad, and they're pretty good.
They're a drag queen Grateful Dead cover band?
Yeah, and they started the band to protest bands in Nashville.
So the band is recently formed?
Yeah.
Okay.
And they're pretty together.
I don't know a lot about the Grateful Dead. They've never been one of the bands that I really listen to. I can appreciate their music and what they did, and you know the Deadheads and the entire movement they had going on there, because you know, I like that sort of thing. I like it when, you know, the good musicians or good artists foster a community around themselves. Mm-hmm. I don't like it when they become obnoxious, like Tool fans or like Rick and Morty fans, but the Grateful Dead band fans, by and large, they seem to have avoided that. Sure, there are some who are all elitist about it, but not that's not my common Grateful Dead head experience.
Nobody actually showed me some Grateful Dead songs, and I don't know if I had ever. I think that the one of the ones he showed me like sounded familiar, like I'd heard it in my life, but I'd never listened to them. And I like it; it's so relaxing and like good, like basically like background music. And something about it reminds me of Tom Petty, but like if Tom Petty was had a baby with the Beatles.
That's how I am with Grateful Dead as well. Like, I don't know any of their songs, but if you play them, I will probably recognize a fair bit of them, having heard them at some point. But I've never really been a fan. But we got that coming up, as well as Wizards of the Coast, the company that owns, like, Magic the Gathering and Dungeons and Dragons. They're suing themselves.
What? Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
And
I didn't even know you could do that.
Yeah, but you have to be really incompetent. But it is apparently possible. And we'll get into it later, but they own a company that is suing them, right? And it's all very, very stupid. It's exactly as stupid as you would expect corporate nonsense to be. But because I'm interested in Dungeons and Dragons and Magic the Gathering, and I know Bonnie likes Magic the Gathering, I wanted to talk about it.
Nikki has learned to play it now, too.
Oh, that's right. Mm-hmm. I'd forgotten. Yep. But before we get into that, let's go to the phones, because we are a call-in show, and of course, you can call in and take control of the airwaves. 603-283-6160. But got to remember, like, Skeeter out there, you know, there are three of us, and we are having a conversation. You don't get to just monologue. But we do welcome an actual conversation with you. 603-283-6160. We have Dave Ridley on the line from here in New Hampshire at RidleyReport.com. Dave, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hey, folks.
Hey, what's
up? I've never called Free Talk Live to issue a warning, but I'm going to do that today. Have you been following the news about the U.S. military exercises in Europe?
I have not.
So there's a history here of you know, conspiracy theorists, of course, will tell you that military drills or preparedness drills are often associated with attacks.
Yep.
Something
even
happens,
like,
during the drill.
Even like bombings, like sometimes there'll be a bombing trial run through. Like, what would we do? How would we react if a bombing happened today? Then the next day a real bombing happened.
9/11 is the obvious example, as while 9/11 was happening, they were running drills about what they would do if some airliners were hijacked. And then you had the, I think it was 6/6, the June the 6th bombings in London, where something similar happened, where the police were, or the whoever it is that does that in the United Kingdom, they were running a test to see what they would do if someone was, you know, planting bombs in the subway. And at exactly the time they were doing this, someone just happened to be planting bombs in the subway.
So weird.
And that's the part I don't know much about. That's what you hear from conspiracy theorists. I'm going to tell you the part that I do know about as sort of a history buff. There was a similar exercise in Western Europe in 1983 called Reforger. And it almost triggered a nuclear war. This was almost as much the Soviets' fault. Well, it probably was more the Soviets' fault than the Americans. Yuri Andropov was just paranoid, and he thought Reforger, they were going to invade East Germany, right? And we came very close to losing it all in 1983. This time, of course, we're having these exercises, but there's a much higher level of danger, I think, associated with these exercises than with Reforger. And the reason for that is that they're coinciding with the Ukrainians, you know, World War One style offensive. And they were timed to coincide. So these exercises are happening right at the same time the Ukrainians are on the march. That's going to create a whole new level of paranoia in Moscow that they couldn't have had in 1983.
So what are you saying is likely to happen as a result? Because, I mean, the U.S. military does drills all the time. The Chinese military is always doing drills. The Japanese always doing drills. The Russians as well. So I'm not surprised to hear about the United States military running drills in Europe. I mean, this seems to be sort of what they do. But what do you think is likely to happen as a result of this?
Well, the problem with this one is when it's happening and what the Ukrainians are doing while it's happening. It set off all my red flags. And I would just say, if you're a prepper, prep a little more this week. If you're a survivalist a little bit more this week.
Can you explain a little bit what the Ukrainians are doing right now? Because I'm not really sure what they're doing, other than, like, I guess,
oh, it's just a,
fighting
you know,
the
it's
war.
Just a, it's an offensive. I don't know the details.
Yeah.
I know that they. It sounds like they haven't gotten very much territory out of the offensive, and they have had some significant losses. Again, don't trust headlines. Trust history. This is going to play out much like World War One did. The Ukrainians, after stop, you know, it's going to play out a lot like the Ukrainians will follow the script that the British followed in 1915 and the French followed in 1916. They're going to try really hard to gain back this territory, and they're going to put territory in front of lives, and they're going to lose a lot of people, I think, in these fruitless assaults.
Yeah, are you talking about the
fortified territory?
The NATO military exercises over Germany, because that's all I'm seeing
no,
is
I'm
going
talking
on
about,
in Europe right now.
No. I'm talking about the Ukrainian offensive. I could be wrong. You know, they may.
I understand, but you said the U.S. military is conducting drills in Europe at the same time. So that's one.
Correct.
Are those drills the ones that are happening over Germany?
The drills are happening in Western Europe and possibly some in Eastern Europe. I don't know exactly where in Europe. It's just that the United States is doing a lot of military exercises in Europe. That's the only part I know.
I'm not finding anything that suggest that's going on.
Well, Germany is Western Europe.
Most of it is. Most
that was
of
also
is,
that was 5 days ago. That's the only thing I found right now is some military drills over Europe. I'm looking right now. Germany is all I'm seeing.
These are air exercises. That's the other thing I know.
Happening over Germany. I don't know. It doesn't sound too unusual to me. This is they conducted something like 20,000 exercises. NATO did something like 20,000 exercises last year. So I'm not terribly surprised to hear that they're doing.
But do they always happen in Europe? Because one thing I don't think a lot about of is like people I know that are in the military going to being stationed in Europe. Usually it's like Korea all the time. It's Korea or like some other place in the. Like Asian area, or well, obviously the Middle East.
I mean, I've
like
heard of people
90%
being stationed
of NATO are European countries, right?
Wait, what?
Yeah, 90% of NATO are European countries, like Germany, Italy,
yeah.
The United Kingdom.
But I was just asking, like, do they do a lot of training in Europe? Because I'm sure they do plenty of training in the whole world.
NATO does, absolutely. And that's one of the other things, that this is a NATO operation being conducted over Germany, not necessarily the United States.
Hmm.
So, I mean, we don't know what American troops are going to be involved in this operation.
I tend to think just, like, don't worry about something you have no control about anyway.
That's true.
Don't.
I mean, it's definitely good to be prepared. I don't know enough about military happenings to, like, really be able to weigh in. I mean, I always try to be prepared, you know, have enough things stocked and, you know, whatever. But, I don't know.
Of course, I don't have the capability right now to, like, look into this thing. It is a giant Air Force drill, according to New York Times, which, you know, makes it sound rather large.
The one in Germany?
Yeah.
I just hope this doesn't escalate into anything more. I mean, and I've been worried about that the whole time with the war in Ukraine. I really, really hope it does not escalate into World War III or any more than it needs to.
Well, I don't know.
It seems like that's the only thing that has been happening since February of 2022. It's nothing but escalations. There's never been a single thing I can point to where there was a significant de-escalation since then. No one seems to know how to do anything other than escalate. Even a small token gesture would be very helpful, but no one seems to be thinking that way. The thing you can do about it, you're not helpless. Google Shane Connor. He's America's probably the most interesting and useful person to listen to when it comes to the idea of World War III and what you can do about it. Just Google him, Shane Connor, World War III, or Shane Connor Nuclear, or something like that. He has a lot of helpful advice on how to get ready.
Cool. Well, thank you so much for the call tonight, Dave. I for one, don't think that World War III is going to happen. I think if it was going to be triggered by the Ukrainian-Russia thing.
I thought it would have already happened by now.
I got my eyes more on Taiwan and China than anything as like being the catalyst that leads to World War III. But I'm not sure there even will be a World War III at this point. By the time that World War III is happening, it'll be too late for it to matter that it was World War III. I don't know. It's a very complex thing. And World War III as a term to me, it's about as useful and meaningful now as the word Nazi or fascist or something. It's like it's just been it's been talked about and beaten, this dead horse, so much that it's unrecognizable and it's useless except as to inflame people and get them incensed about something.
Right, and even if you know that you're using the word fascist correctly, if someone else is hearing something else.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It's so just the definition has been obliterated. Well, I have some relationship advice concerning World War III.
Okay.
Be smart like Nikki and I. Date an older man because they won't get drafted.
Oh, that's good advice. I wouldn't even have thought of that.
Or date a trans person.
Well, can they not get drafted?
I don't know. That's a good idea. Under Trump, they weren't allowed to serve in the military. I want to say Biden undid that.
Yeah, I don't know. Honestly.
So, I think trans people can serve in the military.
They couldn't under Trump. I remember that because we talked about it on the show, and I praised Trump. I was like, hey, thank you. You keep trans people out of the military. Thank you. Now keep everyone else out of the military.
Yeah.
We'll be good to go, right? So I remember that, but I think Biden undid it.
Yep. I think so because I just did a training at work about military stuff, and part of it was how, like, being like the effects of being either a gay person or a trans person in the military.
Oh, wait, so. I think they can because there's a person that chats in our chat room and they work for the military and they said that there was somebody that got a sex change operation in their military hospital.
No, that's a bad place to do that. I mean, you don't want to really
TRICARE?
Do anything. Yeah, you don't really want to do anything in a military hospital.
It's very likely something that they won't kick you out for being trans, but if you are trans, they might not take you.
Yeah, like they might have some, like, you know, silent discrimination type of deal.
I'm just going to make sure I can't pass a drug test. Well, wait, I can't be drafted. I forgot.
Also valid.
I'm old enough now to not, I think.
So what is the age? Do we know what the age is?
I think it's 27 years old.
Okay.
Anyone over 27, I think.
So you can get drafted at 27, but not 28?
I think so.
Okay, then I'll just make sure I don't pass drug test.
But then, I mean, if they get to a point where they're, you know, drafting the 25-year-olds anyway, then we're screwed. I mean, at that point, start Plan C.
Did they start at 18?
I don't know
if
they actually
yes.
do or not.
So, and I think most of the people that sign up for the military are under 20.
Hmm.
That checks out. In general, though, if we reach a point where the voluntary army isn't sufficient, then the United States has lost, and it's time to be implementing an emergency plan. But I don't want to talk about World War III. It's depressing, and there's nothing we can really do about it. I want to talk about this Taylor Swift bathroom thing, because it's sort of related to the trans thing that we got into in regard to the military there, but not really. And this is fascinating. As someone who has been to a lot of concerts and a lot of festivals, I like this story. Now, it's overly wordy at this point. It describes a male concert goer going to this Taylor Swift concert and trying to use the bathroom and discovering that, oh my God, there's a lot of women in the men's room lines.
They're taking over.
And it seemed like he would have to wait about 30 minutes just to use the bathroom because there were, you know, his line wasn't just men. It was men and women. And the women's line was very long. The men's line was very long. And so it's going to take me 30 minutes. And that put him at risk of missing out on the opening songs. So what was he to do? He waited in the back of the immobile line for a few anxious minutes before coming up with a canny, desperate ploy. The girls in front of him might have conquered the men's bathroom, but the urinals were still fair game. I'm shocked. He had to, like, sit there pondering this, right? Like, this is an obvious solution.
So there's a line, but he was like, I'm cutting the line because you guys can't use urinals anyway?
Right.
Nice.
I mean, haven't you seen Step Brothers?
Oh.
There's a scene where the woman pees in the urinal.
Okay.
She's a very trashy woman.
If it works.
Pretty hilarious. I don't think
it would work. I think about that scene all the time, and I'm like, I don't think that would work.
I don't know.
You gotta get a chiwi.
A what?
A shiwi?
Like a funnel.
Yeah, okay. It's like a device.
Ah,
yeah.
Okay. So he says, I moved past all the women in line telling them that I was going for the urinal, which is fair. Americans, more than anyone else, they hate cutting in lines, as I understand it, which is good, because I hate it too.
Yeah, I would hate if someone did that to
me. So he was not trying to, you know, cut ahead of people deliberately. I can use this thing that you can't use, so I'm going on ahead. He said when he exited, two other men were also skipping the line to do the same thing, and none of them were getting any complaints. He was back at his seat within 2 minutes.
Whoa. Okay, that's impressive.
It is. But, I mean, this is also a Taylor Swift concert where, like, I'm shocked that any male who wasn't gay went to see Taylor Swift.
Or like someone's boyfriend or something.
Oh, lots of
so I actually, I saw an article about people wearing diapers to Taylor Swift shows just so they wouldn't miss a second of it. And that is...
I would just not drink anything if I was going to like my favorite artist. I don't know, unless it was like a outdoor festival where it's easy to get to the bathroom. I don't know. There'd be no way I would miss a second of like Lady Gaga.
There's a strategy to this, right? And I say this as someone who's been in the pit at a number of metal shows and festivals where like after about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, you're not coming out of there. And if you are, you're not making your way back to the front. So you've got to plan your drinking and your bathroom trips throughout the day so that once that time hits where, like, the final band is coming on, you're not distracted. You don't need to go off to go use the bathroom. You stopped drinking 3 hours ago. You're good to go. I don't know why an adult is having these sorts of problems with scheduling themselves.
I don't know. I never think about that when I'm at shows or concerts. But I guess normally I go, like... I've also never waited in line for like an hour to use the restroom before.
I've only been to one concert that had these sort of lines at the bathroom, and that was the In This Moment concert in somewhere in Massachusetts. I don't remember where. But it had like six different opening acts, and it was a very long show. But that was the only time I ever saw legitimate lines to the restrooms. And I could see it then, but... I've never encountered it anywhere else. Well, maybe there's like 10 people in front of you.
I saw, like 10 people. That sounds normal. I saw The Untoured in Utah, and I had to wait in a line, and I remember being like, oh, no, I don't want to miss like the only song I really like by them, but I didn't. But so, yeah, not. I don't know how many people they're saying. Like 100?
Well, probably more than that, right? Because these concerts that Taylor Swift's putting on have like 60, 70,000 people attending them. And I don't know how many bathrooms these stadiums tend to have, but if they're actually full, everyone's going to try to go to the bathroom at the same time.
Yeah, separate. Yeah.
Yeah. Before Taylor Swift comes on or after the opening acts or when the opening acts are coming to an end, everyone's going to try to go at the same time. And that's going to create, you know, problems. And they probably don't have enough bathrooms to really fit that.
Yeah.
I don't know. And in the rodeo in San Antonio, what is that? Oh, my God. I can't remember what the, like, Coliseum is called. I can't remember it right now. Like, the Alamo Dome or something. But, anyways, there's so many restrooms in there. Like, the rodeo in San Antonio. And it's always, like, a wait. And it's annoying. But it's not, like, 100 people.
I mean, and let's not pretend like you can't hear the music from the bathroom. Typically, it's not enough. Yeah, you're not going to be able to have your eyes on...
Well, I mean, these people don't want to blink when Taylor Swift's up there. I don't understand
it. I heard that people were paying like $1,000 or more for tickets that had zero visibility. Like, you can't even see the stage. You're behind the stage or behind
just
the...
Just watch it on YouTube.
Yeah, right.
But they want to say that they were there.
They want to be in the same room as her, I guess.
They literally, people just want to say that they went to a show, so they don't care what seats they have, or, like, that was the best they could get, and they were so desperate that
I get that. I do get that. Like, if I wanted to really go see someone, and, you know, I could only get
I'm not spending $1,000 for terrible tickets.
If it was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, possibly.
Like I won't even spend $1,000 for pit tickets.
If it was a Perfect Circle doing a reunion tour, they're like, hey, guys, this is it. After this, we're all going our separate ways. We're never touring again. Okay, yeah, I'd pay $1,000 for crappy tickets.
Well,
but that would be a rare event.
The thing I think of every time I hear Taylor Swift's name, I don't know why, is I read one time that in her, like, mansion in Nashville, it might be like a big old condo or something, but anyways, she has a giant bird cage like a human can go into, and I'm always like, what does she use that for?
I don't want to know, right?
Like, I want to know.
Rich people are weird, man.
It's really weird.
The richer they are, the weirder they are. And
yeah.
She's pretty rich.
So the bathrooms have become a bizarre battleground on the Eras Trail, and the Swifties are restless and organized. Taylor fans are across the country are giddily conquering men's bathrooms. I don't even know why they're painting in this light, making it clear to the assembled dudes that they have no power there. It's painting this these people using the bathroom as some sort of battle of the sexes.
Yeah.
And of course, this is from Slate, but it's insane how much perspective they lost about people trying to do this thing that their bodies require them to do.
Yeah.
I didn't want to walk all the way across the courthouse last time that we were there for your sentencing, and Ian was going into the men's room, so I just walked into the men's room with him and Pete in there. I was going to wait for him, but I could tell that a guy that came in to use the urinal was like, looking at me like, why is she here? So I don't want to make him uncomfortable, so I walked out then. But yeah, I have used men's rooms plenty of times.
I know. I think it's so funny that people care, because there was that whole like debate about trans people using the bathroom.
It is weird,
like,
man.
Can't like, this is just a normal bodily function we all have to do.
Never felt like I was like gonna get raped.
No. I prefer using the women's room because that tends to just create less problems for me. But I'm gonna
absolutely
use whichever one is open. And whichever one is the most convenient. If there's a line for the women's room, yeah, I'm popping into the men's room. Or if there's a line at the men's room, I'm going to the women's room. And that, to me, seems like a normal thing that anyone and everyone should do.
Yeah.
I don't know what the big deal is, but they apparently think there is one. And I've got you get lost here in a bunch of parenthetical statements and more parentheses. Anyway, two girls, good Lord. I don't know even, I can't even begin to pick this paragraph apart while I'm trying to do it, and most of it's irrelevant. So, anyway, on Twitter, a journalist named Stefan Stevenson, boy, his parents hated him, captured a video starring a man standing at the precipice of a designated male bathroom. A bunch of women stood inside, dressed to the nines in iridescent sequins. They looked like they were going to a Taylor Swift concert,
yeah,
basically. I've seen how my friends dress when they go to Taylor Swift concerts. It's like, how you would dress for a bachelorette party in Nashville is how you dress for a Taylor Swift concert.
I don't know why, but when you, before you even described, I thought sequins.
Yeah, that's just what they do. I don't know why they do it.
Well, she always wears like a gold sequin dress. I don't know if she always does, but it's like an iconic thing of hers.
They described this as an assault. Another user named Aubrey assisted in the assault on a men's bathroom in Boston's Gillette Stadium in mid-May. Like, she went into the men's room to use the bathroom, and you're describing it like she, like Iwo Jima, man. Can you relax? Two girls in Atlanta were less fortunate. Both claimed that they got ejected from the show after commandeering the male stalls, which, if true,
wow,
is a huge overreaction by the staff. I don't believe that.
But it is Atlanta. Well, then again, I don't know Atlanta that well, but I just would assume that Georgia might be weird about stuff like that. I mean, it's not North Carolina, where they are famous for having the drag bands in bathrooms or whatever. I meant to say trans bands in bathrooms.
I just don't. Yeah, you know, I've been to a lot of concerts, and I can't think of seeing any security guards who would have cared about this sort of thing. That's just not what they're paid to do.
And yeah, they're worried about people, like, you know, sneaking in alcohol and doing drugs.
Yeah,
not so, what bathroom you use.
If these two girls were kicked out of the bathroom, my gut feeling tells me they were doing something in there that they weren't supposed to. 603-283-6160.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.